lifted from the teaching of the Alter Rebbe in Torah Or and Maimarim of the Rebbe, teaching of the Rebbe. So I'm going to share with you tonight two stories. And one story is about the Alter Rebbe. And one story is about the Rebbe. And both are remarkable stories of vision, as you will see, because it's about vision before things even happen. And of course, it's beyond our conception of how mortals, how human beings could know this, but tzaddikim, who are truly connected to Hashem, that's the real ta'am l'shoni imratecha, they're really able to connect to Hashem on this level. So the story of the Alter Rebbe goes like this. There was a woman whose husband disappeared. She had two small children, fine lady. Didn't have a fantastic marriage, but it wasn't a terrible marriage either. And then he just disappeared one day. He didn't come home. And, there was no cell phones. And there was, not exactly like today, people could simply disappear once upon a time and you couldn't find them. She went to the local police. Well, what should they do? He disappeared. He disappeared. And she started herself to go from town to look for her husband. She left behind these kids. She was living alone. She didn't have parnasa. So, mama's tragic. She went to the larger towns in Belarus. This was in a town, we don't know the name of the town, but it was near Lyozna where the Alter Rebbe lived. She went to the larger Batidin courts and she pleaded with them to assist, to help. Nobody knew what to tell her. They said, could I please get married again? Could I look for somebody else, move on in my life? They said, no, you're married. We have to see evidence of a fatality, a death. You can't. It's called an aguna in Hebrew. And she went here and went there and she couldn't seem to find, nobody had an answer for her. Somebody said to her that the Magid, the preacher in Lyozna, they say he's a big, big tzaddik, a very holy man. He's got like, he has this vision that, go to him. This is very early in the Alter Rebbe's leadership. At that time, as a rule, women did not enter in. The Alter Rebbe didn't just like see people. He was teaching Torah. And women didn't enter into his study. And this woman was desperate. She planted herself at the door of the Alter Rebbe's, I don't know where it was, the office or study, and she refused to leave. I need a blessing from this man. I need direction. And she wailed and cried, and the people heard, and nobody knew what to do. So the Hasidim said to the Alter Rebbe, there's this woman, and she doesn't know. And the Alter Rebbe said, without even looking at her, the Alter Rebbe said, listen to the story, and he said, nu, she should go to Vilna. And in Vilna, Meir of Falls will be able to help her. Meir of Falls means his name was Meir, and his father's name was Rafal. So they called him Meir of Falls, Rafael's Meir. You know, it's an affectionate way in Yiddish. Many people were known that way. All right. So that she has no money. She's destitute and poverty-stricken, and she's there with two children. A terrible situation. So the Hasidim amongst themselves put a few rubles together, and they managed to hire a coach, and they sent her off to Vilna. She arrives in Vilna, Erev Shabbos. Vilna was very, very large city, at least for Jewish people. They used to call it the Jerusalem of the East, they used to call it, of the West. I mean, Vilna, big city, Vilna. Not a very Hasidic-friendly city at that time. And she comes there and she says, I'm looking for Meir of Falls. Meir of Falls? Nobody knows what to tell her. The whole crowd gathers around. A strange woman shows up in a coach with two wailing children. She's looking for Meir of Falls. So somebody says, maybe you mean the newly elected Parnas? There used to be a Parnas every month in Vilna. Somebody else was elected to be oversee the affairs of the Jewish city, of the ghetto where the Jews lived. Do you mean Morono v'Rabono, the great sage and highly respected Torah scholar, Rabbi Meir of Falls? She said, yeah, I guess so. That's what I mean. Okay, so they gave her directions. So the coachman takes her, it's Erev Shabbos, and they pull up in front of this very impressive-looking dwelling where Meir of Falls lived, and he had even had a little gate around his house, and they want to come in. They come in, they open the gates, comes in, and she says, I'm looking for Rabbi Meir of Falls. He's not home. His wife comes to the door. Who's there? And she sees this poor woman with two children. And she says, where are you from? It's Erev Shabbos. First thing she said, she was a Yiddish a mama, a fine woman. She said, tell me, you ate yet something today? The woman said, I haven't eaten anything. You haven't eaten yet? What about your children? We don't have any. She, right away, brought them in. And she sat them down and she fed them. And she said, what are you doing here? What motivates you coming here? She said, we have to see your husband. So she says, my husband's not here. He went to the mikveh. So it's Friday. And she tells him the whole story. Story that there's this Magid in Liozna. And she's desperate. Her husband disappeared. And the Magid says she should come to over here. And Meir Falls is going to help her. So the woman thought, oh, my husband's the Parnas HaChodesh. She's in charge of the affairs of the Jewish community. Surely he knows. Within the hour, Meir Falls comes back home. And it's now just, you know, shortly before Shabbos. And the wife comes and says, there's this woman. She's an Aguna Nebuch. She has two little children. It's a fine lady. She lost her husband. And he says, I don't know who she is. But she was told to come to you. He says, I was told to come to me. I don't know who she is. What do you mean? Who told her? He said, what do you mean? This is the Magid of Liozna. He says, who's the Magid of Liozna? Never even heard of him. He said, I don't know, she says. The wife says, I don't know. He becomes furious. He says, are you kidding? You let them in the house? Now we have a hapless woman, an aguna, and two children stuck in our house now? Because some Magid somewhere told her to come to me? You gotta be kidding. How am I gonna get this lady out of here? He says, I don't know anything. I don't know who her husband is. I don't know who she is. I don't know anything. And he started to yell and scream. He became infuriated. His wife tried to calm him down. She says, listen, okay, relax. We'll figure something out. He was furious. Furious. In the meantime, it was already candlelighting time, and they lit Shabbat candles. And they came from the shul, knew everybody's waiting for the Parnas HaChodesh. And with smoke coming out of his ears, he left his house fuming. Came to shul, and the Parnas HaChodesh was supposed to lead the services Friday night. And he was so frustrated and so angry that he made mistakes as he davened. It was very embarrassing. He came home, and he was in a black, foul mood. And he told his wife, I don't want to see this woman. I don't want to see these children. I don't know who they are. I want them out of my life. And she said to him, how could you do that? It's a Yiddish woman. It's a Yiddish kinderlach. It's Friday night. What are you going to leave them hidden? What are you talking about? He said, okay, listen. I don't want to hear her crying. If she comes to the table, they sit at the table to eat. I don't want to hear her screaming. I don't want to hear those kids crying. Because the woman was wailing. When she heard that Meir Falls didn't know her husband, she said, that's a wail. This is her last hope. Anyway, he got to the Friday night meal, and he was very, very unhappy. It was an unhappy Friday night meal. Let's just say that. The Meir Falls' family ate, basically in silence. He sang whatever little zmirot and agunim, and they retired to go to sleep. The poor woman, this aguna, goes to sleep. They gave her in a guest room over there with her killed. She can't sleep. She can't sleep. She goes, what do I do now? I'm desperate. My life is... She's a woman in her 20s, and like, my husband disappeared. My last hope, I came here. This guy, Meir Falls, supposed to help me. He wants to throw me out. Some Magid of Liozna sent me here. I don't even know how to get out of the city. I don't even have money to leave the city. The Meir Falls can't sleep either. He's like, this is crazy. Some lady comes out of nowhere with two kids. I'm stuck with this lady now. She's going to be in this house. How am I get rid of her? How do I throw a Jewish woman in the street? But I can't help her. What a chutzpah, he thinks to himself. That Magid, that rabbi. What insolence. And he thinks to himself, I'm so angry at him. I will deal with him. I will find a way to deal with that rabbi. Sends him. Who has the gall to send this woman? And this is what he's thinking. He's fuming at the Alter Rebbe. That's how he's thinking the whole night. The poor man can't sleep. He's so angry. Somewhere at 6 a.m. he decides to go for a stroll to try to calm himself down. He's going for a stroll in the streets of Vilna. And he comes across a very strange thing. He sees one of the army officers of the Tsar's army who was stationed at that time. This is under Tsarist control. And the Tsar's a whole troop of soldiers marching. And the Parnas HaChodesh, he knew the people who were, you know, the brass, the military brass. So he shook his head and he said to him, why are you here? 6 a.m. marching through the streets? What's going on over here? So the army officer said there was a soldier who disappeared, ran away. And we sent a posse after him, a search party. We caught him. And the rule is, if a soldier deserts, that he gets flogged in public in whatever city we're in the city square. And a troop of soldiers has to be there to watch the flogging. And he said, we didn't want to do it, you know, when everybody's in the town and the town's busy. So we're getting our business done. This is the law. It's early in the morning now. He's now going to be flogged. And all the soldiers will watch. So the Meir Falls was intrigued. He said, am I allowed to be in proximity? He says, yeah, no problem. You can be here too. And they see this poor, hapless soldier who is being led to the middle of the town square. And there he's stripped. They take off his jacket and his old uniform and his shirt, whatever else it is. And his bare back, he's thrust onto the floor, just wearing his pants. And the flogging begins. And this is flogging. Oy, 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 oy. This is flogging. And there comes a whip with a sadistic, cruel, comes down on the guy once, twice. Somewhere in the beginning of this flogging, the soldier suddenly screams Shema Yisrael. Oh, the mayor of all listens. Shema Yisrael. None of the Tsar soldiers understood what he said. The army officer didn't know what he said, but the mayor of all knew what he said. So he went over to the officer and he says, I think I might know this guy. You think maybe we could stop the flogging now? And the officer said, nope, this is the law. However many stripes you receive, I don't know, this is the law. He says, but I think I know this guy. He says, look, I can tell the one giving the stripes not to put all of his strength into it, to give it a little lighter. So he went over to him and he said, you don't have to give it with a full, you know, you give it. Okay. So the flogging continued until the poor man basically was half dead. And he took him off to the hospital, took him off to a local hospital, covered in blood, covered in welts. And the local hospital had to Nebuch take care of this guy, brought him to the emergency room. The mayor of Falls follows into whatever the emergency looked like in those days. And he says, when they finished bandaging him up, he says, I have to see, I'm a relative, I need to see. It wasn't like today, you don't have to wear a mask or gloves, you know, whatever. It's not like today's hospitals. The mayor of Falls walks in and he says to the guy, Good Shabbos. The guy says, Good Shabbos. And he says, what's going on over here? He says, how could you be in the Tsar's army? A Jew is not allowed to be a member of the Tsar's army. At that time, Jews were not permitted to serve in the Tsar's army. Later on, decades later, the Tsar made a terrible decree against the Jewish people where young Jews were forced and conscripted into the army. At that time, Jews were not allowed to serve in the Tsar's army. This is like 1780. So the man begins to sob and he tells a terrible story. He says, I'm so ashamed, I'm so embarrassed. I deserve all this flogging. I deserve all this punishment. I'm a big sinner. I went against Hashem. I'm grateful that he chose to leave me alive. I deserve to be dead and killed. And the guy's wailing and crying. And basically the story comes out. He said, you know, I was married, whatever. It was not the greatest marriage. A marriage. I was living. I had two children. And he said, I was doing some business, some dealings. And I ended up, he says, kind of getting this relationship with a non-Jewish woman. He says, I fell in love with her. And I ended up leaving my wife. I ran away from my wife and two children. And I had this tryst, this fling, this thing. And I moved in with this non-Jewish woman. And we were living together. And her father wasn't too pleased that his daughter found himself a Jewish man. And it turned out that there was some kind of conscription or his son had to be sent into the army. So he told the Tsars, take this guy instead, the soldiers. So I ended up being inducted into the army. And here I am, look at me, he says, I'm a terrible sinner, a man who abandoned his wife. I left two children behind. I moved in because I fell in love with a non-Jewish woman and I left my religion, left my Jewishness. And now I got what I deserved. God came and struck me and put me in this army. And I'm having a miserable time of it. And I decided I want to run away. He said, so I tried to run away. And now they caught me and here I am, beaten and bloody. And the man says, I wish I could set my wife free. I don't know where, I'm too ashamed. You know, I can't even get to her. I should just give her a divorce and let her go on. She deserves to have a proper husband. And the mayor falls, his ears are falling off. He can't believe what he's hearing. He says to the guy, what's her name? He says her name. What's the children's names? Children's names. Mayor falls says, I'll be back later on. Runs home. Now it's early Shabbos morning. And this woman is already up. And sitting in the kitchen with his wife, he says to her, what's your name? She says her name. It's exactly the name. And he says, what's the name of your children? And she says the name of her children. It's exactly the children's names. And she says, young lady, I don't know who that rabbi is, but I think I found your husband. And so on Sunday morning, they convened a hasty bezdin, and they went to the hospital, and they made a get, and a get was given, and the man gave a get to his wife and set her free. The Meir Fall was totally blown away by this story. And so when the woman was leaving, he gave her money to go back to her town is near Liozna, which is trying to rebuild her life. And he said to her, do me one favor. Before you go back to your hometown, stop in Liozna and visit that rabbi. And please tell him that I very much regret that I spoke against him. I don't know, maybe he felt it, maybe he knew I was very angry at him. I apologize for being so angry. And I thank him for the privilege of being able to help you. And I will be yet coming to visit. And true to his word, when the Meir Falls month of service was over, he got himself into a coach and he traveled to Liozna. And he ended up becoming a great chassid of the Alter Rebbe. And in fact, he was the first chassid in Vilna. Vilna was a stronghold of the others, the opposition to chassidus. And Meir Befall became a fiery, loyal chassid of the Alter Rebbe. And in the end, of course, there were many, many chassidim. Vilna, unlike people's misnomer, was filled with chassidim. In fact, my wife's family is a Vilna family, and they were a Lubavitcher family. Chassidim living in Vilna. Many, many, many chassidim lived in Vilna. And it all began with the story with the Meir Befall. So this is a story about the Alter Rebbe.